Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
While the rest of the European leagues take a pause to enjoy the festivities like the rest of us mortals, there's no such break for the Premier League, who have the whole weekend to themselves. But it's not a typical holiday period, as COVID continues to play the ghost of Christmas past, present, and sadly, the foreseeable future. Regardless, the crew is here to break it all down. James Bench, Heath Pierce, and Jimmy Conrad join Kego Lasso. Boxing Day Premier League preview begins right now. Hey, everybody, welcome to Kego Lasso. How are you? Thank you so much for being part of the family. We're on Twitter, Kego Lasso Pod, youtube.com/Kego Lasso, CBS Sports, and your CBS Sports app. First of all, Heath Pierce from Dubai. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I like you come to me first when I'm in the future. So I kind of like this. It's good for the ego, but I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm good. That's a good point. I'm going to the one that's further along in the world right now, and that's Heath Pierce. We're an international show today. Jimmy Conrad from San Francisco. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm wearing a Newcastle jersey. I've popped my collar because we've got this whole thing figured out, everybody. We got everybody right where we want them, and we're going to start with a big win over Manchester United. Probably not. For the Boxing Day festivities. Yes.
I love it. Newcastle Al Pacino Godfather 3, basically. Go. Just when you think you're out, you pull yourself back in. But hey, international, we spoke from the UK, James Bench. Bench, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing really well because at the rate the Premier League games are dropping for Boxing Day, I'm going to get a day off.
You deserve it, James. You deserve it.
I never get a day off. Ask my editors.
I never thought it would come down to this, but here we are. Congrats. Yeah. We wanted to give this to you for your Christmas present.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas indeed. And by the way, that is true. Benji does get day off, but on the day off, something happens, so he has to come back to work. That's basically the case, but hopefully not this time. But everybody, thank you so much for being part of the family. As we mentioned, this is our Boxing Day Premier League preview, but take that with an asterisk. Before we go any further, as we said in the intro, it really would be remiss of us not to mention that we're recording this on Thursday, and a lot can change between now and Thursday later on. Sunday's matches, the Omicron variant is spreading like wildfire. It's an invisible threat that hangs over every club, and the possibility of multiple or all of this weekend's Premier League fixtures being postponed remains very much within the realms of possibility. So with that being said, let's just go straight to James Bench. Give us the latest, my friend, as we look ahead to the weekend of fixtures.
Yeah, so just echoing your point, first of all, as Louis says, we're recording this at 10 a.m. Eastern time, I believe. Someone correct me if I'm wrong there.
Correct.
Look at that, I can do time zones. Mm-hmm. And as it stands, we have had two matches postponed. Liverpool's game at home to Leeds United and Watford's third straight game, I believe, postponed. They were due to be playing Wolves. This is a real shame, not for many people, not least those of us that wrote several hundred words on why Wolves, it's quite difficult to say, several hundred words on why Wolves have become so boring but effective of late. So those are the two games that we know that are postponed. And the Premier League, obviously, with it being on Boxing Day, are putting real effort to make sure that the games are, you know, that they're giving enough notice as possible to fans before the games. They've been criticised for that, you know, in light of games like Burnley against Watford. So that's where we stand. We also know that Everton put in a request to have their game on Boxing Day postponed. I think Rafa Benitez has just said that they have 9 senior outfield players available. Right now, we're in a strange position where there is an awful lot of confusion as to what it takes for a Premier League game to get postponed. Let's take that example of Leeds. They say they've got 5 players unavailable due to COVID-19. They've done excellent work vaccinating their squad. Everyone's asymptomatic. They should be back nice and early and no lasting complications. Great news. However, Chelsea, due to play Wolves on Sunday, well, they were, and they put in a request for the game to be postponed with 7 positive cases and were told no. Now, the Premier League statement said that the Leeds game has been cancelled due to not just COVID, but injuries and injuries and illness. So we've kind of got to the very strange position where you just are expected to play on, you know, if you've got a deep enough squad, even if you're being ravaged by COVID. So I suspect this will be something that Premier League managers will be discussing. I think they're just coming out of their meeting as we speak, and we'll rumble on and on, you know, what are the criteria for the games getting postponed?
What do you think, Bench, is going to happen with regard to the protocol based on what you've heard and the research with what that line's going to be, that if you do have too many cases, I think, what is it, 9 right now? And do you think that'll get dropped? What do you think that's going to play out,
Well, so the challenge is that the Premier League's view on this is that you need to have some level of flexibility, because, you know, you may have a certain number of cases but not really have control of the virus. That was an issue that Tottenham had, was they felt like, you know, we couldn't stop people getting infected. So I think the Premier League are quite reluctant to draw a hard and fast line, but it does lead to situations that are manifestly unfair, where Leeds are almost kind of benefiting from extra rest, and Wolves as well, because their squad is a bit smaller than Chelsea's, that's chock full of internationals. I think they just kind of want to grit their teeth and bear it and just hope. Yeah. And we're already seeing in London that the hospitalizations are quite low, that there's optimism that Omicron is not as severe a variant of COVID as Delta. I think the kind of the hope is, can we just scramble through the next 3-4 weeks, postpone whatever games we need to, and then everything will be fine, and just trying to put everything else on the back burner, really. It's tough, and they're gambling, but also I think they look at it and they say, we don't know if we can get this season finished if we don't just play through as many games as we can now.
Yeah, has the tone, I guess, because we get caught up in this whole advantage, disadvantage, teams get more rest than the other teams. Is that a theme right now, at least for you domestically, kind of seeing where the Premier League is at? Or is it more of like health and safety first, and then the rest of it is just sort of play it by ear? And then you have a Thomas Tuchel or a few others that are, you know, obviously getting, you know, drawing the short stick with all of this stuff. But is that all woven together, or does it seem like a clear list of priorities for the league, out, you know, bar a few managers, a few people kind of barking loudly?
I mean, I think everyone is still talking, as you say, about health and safety being number one. But I think we are approaching the stage where, particularly going back to what I was saying about, you know, people being able to cope with Omicron. And actually, if you look at a squad like Brentford, what was remarkable was at the back end of, I think it was last week, or it was a Thursday, I believe, Thomas Frank was saying, we've got 13 positive cases. And then a few days later, it was zero. So these situations can change really quickly. And I think there will be concerns and frustrations among some managers. The prime example of this, say, is Arsenal. And I'm not just saying that, but you know, they are going to play Norwich on Boxing Day, and they're scheduled to take on Wolves on the 28th. Yeah. That was going to be really hard on both teams. But your argument is always, hey, it's fair, you know, both teams get a similar amount of rest. Now Wolves will have had a week off. Credit to them. Their squad is fully vaccinated, and although they've had some cases, it's not been that tough on them, COVID. They're now going to have had a week off to prepare for this Arsenal game, and Arsenal are going to be coming into it, I think, less than 48 hours after playing against Norwich. And they're kind of scrabbling. I just reported just now that they're trying to convince the Ghanaian FA to let them keep Thomas Partey for the game against Wolves, because they just look at it and they go, how on earth are we supposed to get these players playing, you know, twice in the space of 48 hours? It's really tough, and we are starting to have those conversations. Omicron and COVID is crashing against the conversations we have year in, year out about how much is being demanded of players on this festive fixture list.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to wrap it up right there, the physical and mental toll, of course. But thanks, James Bench, for all the updates. And of course, as we mentioned, you know, by the time you listen to this or watch this, some new advancing comments and perhaps postponements from the Premier League will happen. But let's move on. Let's talk about the games that are happening as we speak, of course. And we begin with Manchester City against Leicester City. You know, this is Pep Guardiola insisting that no new strikers incoming in January, despite Ferran Torres, as we are obviously reading, specifically from our very own Fabrizio Romano, that it's almost set but done. But regardless of that, you know, Manchester City remain in pretty good condition, but they do face a Leicester City who just lost in the League Cup in a very entertaining, albeit super dramatic for their causes, because they, you know, took it to extra time in stoppage time due to Minamino. But this is Man City against Leicester City. Jimmy Conrad, let's begin with you. What say you?
Well, I'll start with the Jack Grealish, Phil Foden news. Apparently, those guys were being a little naughty, and they have histories of being naughty, not so nice here for this holiday
someone's
break.
Someone's not getting Christmas presents on the naughty list.
They're getting coal in their stockings, which means probably not getting to play in this particular game, as Pep Guardiola has said that he has been paying attention to everybody's off-the-field behaviors as well, and that this is a very difficult time to have success, and that he expects all of his players to be top professionals. I'm paraphrasing, maybe adding a few words in there to make it even smoother. But
He said to me, by the way, specifically, this time of year is when he says he really pays attention to people's lifestyle, his players' lifestyles, which is a really interesting thing to be like, hey, we're going into the season. I'm going to lock in on all of you. I'm going to follow you on social media. I know where all you're going to do. I'm going to be hanging out at the cafes, the bars. I'm going to have my eyes out there, which is, you know, smart.
Some might say he should have been doing that for Benjamin Mendy.
100%, Jimmy Conrad. That's where I was going. Keep that.
Yeah, so it's interesting who he chooses to keep his eyes on and who he shows a blind eye to. Though she gets into a heavy part of the conversation, but I'll leave it there. So with regard to Leicester, they obviously losing 3-1. They're up 3-1 against, or excuse me, 3-3 in penalties. But they were up 3-1 and they giving up a goal in the 95th minute when Wilfred Ndidi, all he had to do was like back up one step and get a clear header. They would have had a nice, very awesome win against Liverpool. It has to hurt, and I think there's going to be an emotional letdown from that particular game. Not physically, obviously, they're going to be coming into this. Man City is going to be rested. I think that gives them a big advantage. But Jamie Vardy got hurt in this particular game. I don't see him going up against City. He's got a nice track record against scoring against City. Ricardo Pereira was going to be a big loss. Soyuncu in the back is going to be out. Johnny Evans is still a player that they need to start, but he's been injured. And so this is going to be a tough test. I think we could see Wilfred Ndidi actually dropping into the back line, which isn't always a good look. Ask Condogbia for Atletico Madrid how that's working out. So I feel like this is one-way traffic. I think City are going to eat up Leicester at a time where Leicester needs to rest and not actually play a game.
Yeah, they're almost at double digits in terms of injuries as well, or potentially out for this match. You've got also got Soyuncu and Pereira, who both got injured in the cup tie as well. And it's one of those things where you're up 3-1, you run the risk of playing your best team, knowing that you've got this heavy fixture list. And it goes back to James Benn's point. Like, this is a year-in, year-out conversation about the time of year, the amount of minutes, the workload on these players, and you add that to the fact that there's potentially players being forced into play or needing to play more minutes than they would otherwise because of the fact that you've got some depleted rosters and things like that, makes it a little bit worrisome for me for the future. One, obviously, for scheduling, since it's not going to get any easier, but how they handle this going into the future. The flip side, again, thinking about Phil Foden and Jack Grealish, I mean, an idle mind is a devil's playground, and I think that's always been the concern for a lot of these footballers who are home by 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon is what do you do with your time, right? And they've been on lockdown. They've had these crazy things, and I feel for what they're going through on a regular basis, not being able to unwind. They're already kind of under the microscope as top-level footballers, but it's unfortunate. But fortunately for them, they're deep enough to not really have to stress over that. My question is with Ferran now likely or on the outs and nobody coming in the winter, you know, who is the next big signing for them? I would love if Benj or Luis, if you've heard anything about these players. I was reading a little bit today about potentially João Felix. Could he be a replacement for that, or is he sort of unfinished? I mean, we have the obvious characters in Holland and Harry Kane and whatever, but João Felix was one that came to mind. I was like, okay, I hadn't heard that before, and it's not a bad shout. I mean, still kind of underwhelming in terms of what they paid for him, but would love to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't heard any rumors at all about Felix. Feels like a very Guardiola player. You know, you could see him playing out wide or as the number nine. And I mean, certainly, you know, from Guardiola's comments that they aren't going to replace Ferran Torres in January, I think it's pretty clear that this is really making sure they're in position for Haaland, Mbappe. Now we know that Mbappe one's almost certainly going to end up he's going to end up in Real Madrid, but that, you know, that really that this is more about topping up the kitty and having a good go at someone top quality in the summer. And let's be realistic, they can cope absolutely without, you know, without Ferran Torres. They'll be fine without Jack Grealish and Phil Foden. I find it very disrespectful as a fellow Silhillian, that's people from Solihull in the West.
We know all that.
I would expect you all to be experts on commuter towns around Birmingham. you know, as a fellow civilian, I know he's a good boy. He obviously takes care of his mum. I imagine what he's doing is he was obviously taking some Christmas dinners to old ladies in the community. I'll be going around to visit my gran, check in on her, and Guardiola has taken offence to this, and I think that's just dreadful man management.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happened. Yeah. Yes,
I can't keep that up anymore.
Well, Heath, I feel like you were watching HQ because Peruvian Santa was talking about Joao Felix and the possibility of him maybe leaving in January. Diego Simeone did not rule out an exit. And, you know, even though he scored in the previous game against Granada, a game they lost, by the way, you know, Joao Felix could be maybe on the out. So it would be interesting. Regardless, going back to the game itself, Man City against Leicester City, no matter what happens at the end of this weekend, Man City will be on top of the Premier League. And that's a very important thing for Pep Guardiola. Of course, they're top of the table with 44 points. And Leicester City are ninth with 22 points, obviously 16 games only played. So let's go into the predictions here with Man City against Leicester. What say you, Jimmy Conrad, with some betting tips, perhaps?
Yes. I think you want to do a Boxing Day parlay. So we'll add all up my picks at the end and I can tell you what that is. But because I think that's more enjoyable when you have a whole bunch of games going at once and then you can screen totally at your TV.
Like Christmas gifts, Jimmy Conrad.
It is. It really is. I think Man City is going to be the easy winner here, with all due respect to Leicester. Had Man City had a midweek game themselves and maybe had a couple more people out. Yeah, but this is a Man City team that are in very, very good form and with extra rest against a Leicester team who has that many injuries. I'm just trying to decide whether, if you're trying to bet in this game directly, whether I think Leicester's going to score. Patson Daka will be out there. I think he's been pretty good. But against this back line of City, I don't know. I think City's going to win for sure. I'll make it fun for Boxing Day. 3-1, Man City.
Ooh.
Ooh, I like that. I'm going to go with 2-0 for Man City. I think they're just too strong. I think they can hold the clean sheet against Leicester as well, considering all of the absences that they're likely to face up against. They could very easily score more. And again, I think it's disrespectful the fact that everybody else is suffering in the way that they are, and Pep Guardiola has decided to suspend two of his players for behavior at this time of year, knowing that teams would pay any amount of money just to have two more players to be able to, under any circumstances or any conditions or any lifestyle choices, they would take them in their rosters right now. But I the City's too strong for this. I'm going with City 2-0.
Maybe Jack Grealish's grandma should call Pep Guardiola. What do you think, James? Prediction?
Yeah, I mean, probably like a tediously excellent 2-0 win. Mm. Pep Guardiola will complain afterwards about, you know, the fixture list, and he's had to, you know, have Cole Palmer on the bench or some other superstar of the future. But yeah, I can't rouse myself to be interested about like the footballing activities of Man City. They're just too excellent. I'll enjoy watching them, but like, afterwards you're just washed over you, like, you know. Yeah.
Well, last three matches for Man City, they've scored 12 goals. They haven't conceded a goal in those last three, so maybe that will continue. But let's move on here. Remember, everybody, take this with a pinch of salt and keep updated with CBS Sports on the latest news regarding the Premier League fixtures. But let's move on as Aston Villa host Chelsea. Ziyech has been left out of Morocco's African Cup of Nations squad. Bertrand Traore is back as well, by the way, but we'll see how, you know, that will feature. And by the way, from an Aston Villa perspective, Steven Gerrard is dealing with a few things. Two players did come back, as well as some staff members, but one was shown a positive case as well. This is as of Wednesday as well. So I think that the sentiment will be they'll be using a lot of that very talented academy in this game, but Chelsea also has their own issues. So, James Bench, let's go with you on this one. Villa hosting Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Chelsea have COVID issues, but they look like they'll be easing Romelu Lukaku and Callum Hudson-Odoi. I think Hudson-Odoi probably more important than we appreciate. Both look like they should be available at the moment. Whether they'll start, we'll see. I think to an extent, and Thomas Tuchel would agree with me on this, Chelsea's issues have been a little bit overblown. The results haven't been great, but the performances have been fine. There was a slight defensive wobble a few games back, but they've kind of fixed that. Dropping points against Everton, yeah, it's bad. And, you know, I think maybe we'll look back at this as the period that Chelsea slipped out of the title race, but like, they were really good. I think you can almost sort of discount the Wolves draw because it was a game that shouldn't have happened. And bringing back Lukaku means you're kind of not persevering with Christian Pulisic in a position he's not that well suited for at Premier League level as a sole striker. I actually think he'd be quite good next to Lukaku, but that's by and by. I think you know, the EFL Cup suggested that maybe Chelsea are just getting those numbers back. Kante just played 12 minutes, but Jorginho came in as well. Kovacic was playing. So I know that, Luis, you'll tell me, Villa are a tough team to score against under Gerrard, a solid defence and taking even the best teams close. But I'm a bit more bullish about Chelsea than I think maybe consensus would be.
No, I'm glad that you are, because it feels so doom and gloom. I follow a lot of people on Twitter that support Chelsea, and Jesus, the mood swings, man. Relax, you know. There's going to be a time.
Yeah, we don't have those at Arsenal or Newcastle, do we, Jimmy? Or Villa. Listen, for that much.
There are no mood swings Chelsea in Newcastle. Thing. It's just one swing, baby. It's straight
one
down.
Mood, yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
One mood all the time. So what's interesting is that despite their poor run of form, especially on the defensive side of the ball where they're giving up a lot of goals, they've only lost once in their last 18 games. I wish Newcastle had that problem. Mm. And they've got two consecutive clean sheets. So I thought there was going to be a point of emphasis from Thomas Tuchel. Like, we got to get back to doing the little things right, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You can't cheat the game. You have to continue to make those plays that ultimately make the difference. And it's just this brick by brick philosophy that I appreciate about Thomas Tuchel. And that he doesn't, and a lot of managers have, this isn't isolated to him, but that you got to do the little things right, the simple things perfect every time. And this makes me a bit nervous for Villa, because as Chelsea starts to round into that defensive form that they're known for under Tuchel, Villa are in their own space, also getting good defensively under Gerrard, but they have two losses under Gerrard. One is to Man City and the other one's to Liverpool. And I feel like they might be in that Arsenal vibe where they are doing pretty well against the teams mid-table and below. But the teams that are above them, the teams that are going to be actually competing for the title, they seem to struggle with those. And so I'm kind of torn with my prediction with whether I think there's going to be like a 1-1 draw here, 0-0, 1-1 draw, or if I feel like Chelsea will eke out the win somehow, because they are bringing back Thiago Silva. Lukaku could come off the bench and be a very vital super sub here. Hudson-Odoi looks like he's going to be healthier, an option as well. And I think it gives them more flexibility and doesn't put everything on Pulisic to try to stretch the defense and make these quick little runs. Even though he is pretty vibrant in doing that and drew a penalty against Brentford in the Carabao Cup, you know, to Benji's point, it's probably not his best spot.
Yeah, the only thing I'd add to that is that, you know, on those stats, Jimmy, Chelsea's also only won 3 of their last 8 matches, which is very un-Chelsea-like. And I agree with the sentiment that Villa do need to find that kind of punch to the face of one of the big teams to sort of solidify themselves as a competing team or somebody that can take points off that top group, which will obviously have huge effects on where they fall into the table by the end of the season. But Chelsea are still without, you know, in terms of the starting lineup, Lukaku or Havertz, Werner, Chilwell, a number of players are still missing from that starting lineup. Ziyech, I think, might not play, even though he was left off the AFCON roster. That's more of a nice to have over the next month or so while they need a bunch of matches if he's in the team. But I mean, it's and again, with Tuchel being so angry, being one of the most outspoken in terms of these games not needing to happen right now, the only thing that I'm really excited about is Christian Pulisic potentially playing the 9, getting more of a sample size of him there, only because of the fact that Jimmy and I spent an hour a couple of days ago trying to justify him in the 9 spot on a very, very specific show that has nothing to do with the global game. But yeah, that's the only upside for me. But I still see Chelsea being able to hold on to this one. Luis, I mean, Maybe you're in too deep on this one, what's your take? Do you think that Villa can pull off a result?
No, I love it when all three of you say Villa's not going to win, because that usually the opposite happens. So hopefully, when you'll gamble against my Villa, hopefully that will prove. Now, listen, Chelsea, to Jimmy's point, you know, I think the bigger test for Steven Gerrard, even in those early days, is getting those good results against those top 4, those top 3 teams. Having said that, the Man City 2-1 loss, very commendable, and they could have even equalized. Carney Chukwueka could have even equalized as well in that situation. Losing 1-0 to Liverpool in a game where there were a lot of refereeing issues as
well. All right, Luis, you sound like a fan right now. You know, you're justifying losses.
One second. I have listened to all three of you why Chelsea's going to win. I'm not saying Villa's going to win. I'm just saying. And by the way, last season Villa didn't lose to Chelsea. We tied and won. So, like, I'm not saying, like, and that was against Dean Smith, but with Dean Smith as a manager. I'm not saying Villa's going to win this. And also, we have to add the biggest asterisk, which is COVID. I don't even know what the squad's going to look like, to be honest with you. So, with that being said, it will be a tough one. I'm going with a Villa win. Sorry, everybody. Let's go with a 2-1. What do you think, James Bench?
A 3-0 Chelsea.
Yes, we're definitely winning. All right, Jimmy Conrad, go ahead.
I mean, I'm going to say draw because I think it adds some love to my parlay, but I'm going to reserve the right to maybe switch it to a Chelsea win.
Conrad, that's one of your boys, man.
Depending on the score at halftime, Jimmy might switch over. I'm going to go with classic Chelsea here. I want Chelsea on a 1-0 win.
Yeah,
nice,
stay in
nice
Dubai.
And boring. Nice and boring. Boxing Day.
All right. Well, there you have it, everybody. All three experts are wrong, but that's okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, North London on the up, perhaps. I can't wait to talk about this one as well. And West Ham, Southampton, Newcastle, Manchester United, and so much more. Premier League Boxing Day preview. Heath Pierce, Jimmy Conrad, James Bench. We'll be right back.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome back, everybody, to Que Golazo, our final weekend preview of the year, Des Norris. I'm really bad at dates and calendars and math, but I think, yeah, no, it isn't, says Des Norris. He says it in caps. He's like, I know my calendar, Luis. No. All right, I'm sorry. Well, okay, one of our final ones. December 31st is our final. But we got plenty of really good holiday episodes coming up for you as well. They're super fun. Our end of year awards and looking ahead to transfers in 2022 and so much more. But let's talk about what's going on right now. Boxing Day, Premier League, the North London teams, James Bench, sexy stuff. Arsenal, I mean, are you feeling it or what? They play Liverpool and Tottenham as well. Obviously, of course, they play Liverpool in the League Cup semis and Spurs play Chelsea in the League Cup semis. And first of all, how do you feel about the League Cup final? Can Arsenal get this one, James Bench?
No.
He's so negative, man.
Have you seen them play against Liverpool before? I suppose the one thing you have is like maybe the sort of blind hope that, well, I mean, Jurgen Klopp does play really weak teams in the EFL Cup. And for Arsenal, you know, it's a trophy that, you know, they like winning. Arsenal love winning cup competitions. So maybe that's your view on it. I think Spurs-Chelsea will be quite a fun, hotly contested tie. Clearly, I mean, you know, that Antonio Conte narrative is absolutely delicious. You know, that's a festive treat there, seeing him back at Stamford Bridge. I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah, I mean, now I've talked about Arsenal-Liverpool and I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, Salah will be at AFCON, Mane will be at AFCON, and I'm talking myself into it, and then I'll be watching at Anfield and they'll be 3-0 down after 12 minutes, and I'll think, what idiot I was. No, they're not, you know.
Well, let's talk about that Norwich game then. I mean, easy 3 points, or you think maybe something else to go with it?
I think this is quite an easy 3 points. Arsenal's great quality right now is that they are comfortably beating the teams below. That's how they're like building their top four cases. We're going to be the team that doesn't slip up against Norwich, against Watford, against Newcastle. Sorry to bring that up again,
Jimmy. That's fine, no problem. But
yeah, they will sort of really, they will do a really good job and get, you know, the 28 points from a possible 30 or whatever against the lower reaches of the league. And, you know, they hope that Spurs, West Ham and United won't be as successful, and that balances it out against how woeful they are against the best teams in the league. I'm intrigued how Arteta goes about this, going back to what we were saying about them now playing a fresh Wolves 2 days later, because Alex Lacazette has been fundamental to the way they play. Really outstanding, leading the press, interlinking, bringing the best out of Martinelli and Saka. And I tell you what, he can do that for about 60 minutes at a time. There is no way that I can see him playing both of these two games. So I wonder if Arteta might be tempted to go for a slightly weaker team, bring in someone like Nketiah, who scored a hat-trick in midweek.
What a last go in that one, huh?
Oh, brilliant. I made this point on Twitter. I don't want to railroad the whole podcast, but it looks like that's what I'm doing. His anticipation in front of goal, and if you watch the clips of his goals and watch him watching the ball as it's coming in,
yeah,
it's like what Dennis Rodman said in the Last Dance about rebounding.
Yeah,
I know. Great for a US audience, this. But the way he watches the ball, and you can see him anticipate for the first goal he scores, he sees Rob Holding's header is coming this way. So if the keeper saves it, he's probably going to push it out to his left a little bit. So if I'm there and then he scores, he's really, really good at that. He's not great at a lot of other stuff that's quite important for being a modern forward. But actually,
you're making us footballers sound really smart when all I know is in those areas, I'm like, I see ball, run.
I'm actually surprised you haven't mentioned Chucky Patino as well. You know, the Arsenal's elf on the shelf as well. That's you. He had quite a game as well. But Jimmy, what say you about both teams, actually, but beginning with Arsenal as well?
Sorry, I'm still trying to process the love for Nketiah here. This is amazing. Just slobbered all over him, Ben. No, I thought he had a tremendous performance. I also thought that Nicola Pepe played very, very well in this particular game. He had a couple assists and a goal. He seems to play well against inferior opponents, per se. Yeah. We saw him do it in the Europa League last season to great effect. It just makes me actually pretty excited for Arsenal that they have that type of depth that they can lean on in a game against Norwich. I just don't really know who he's going to start, because he could go with those guys, or he could go back to what's been working, to Benja's point, which I'm sure he will, obviously, because he's got to rotate the squad. Tomiyasu, I think, is the biggest issue for me from a health thing. I know he came off against Leeds. Is he ready to go? I'm sure Benj knows. If he is, I think that makes a big difference as they continue to solidify and build that rapport of that back 50-50 line.
50-50, says James Benj.
50-50, yeah. Okay. So that, I think, is something to keep in mind. Obviously, there's a lot of games. They're going to need him for a lot of different reasons. Norwich, though, haven't played in 12 days. And I think there might be something that could help them there. And I'm trying to give them anything right now, because Arsenal are very, very good. Regarding the League Cup, what I found interesting about Arsenal, they actually haven't won it since 93, the League Cup. They've only won it twice overall, but they have more FA Cup trophies than any other club. I'm like, wow, they really don't care about the League Cup that much.
Really,
and now that they're going to run against Liverpool, I don't know what's going to happen there. That's my bad joke about that. But I will say that I think Arsenal are going to run away with this, with all due respect to the Canaries. If Josh Sargent's going to score, I hope he does it against Arsenal just for the laughs and the memes. But outside of that, I this is going to be one-way traffic. I just don't think Norwich have enough.
My only add to the top of that is that I think 12 days is probably too long in between matches in terms of keeping your team going. And I think that, not that it's a detriment, but I don't think it plays as much as if you got a gap, a 1 week gap, and you got a full week of training, you got to really work on a few things. You kind of want to test some of that stuff along the way. And it's Norwich. So I think Arsenal are just too strong, could go five in a row with this win against Norwich. And I don't see them struggling in this one. And I think the bookmakers agree.
Yeah, the bookmakers do agree, but let's not disregard how important this is for Norwich, because they are 20th, 10 points, even with Newcastle, but a worse goal differential. But if they had, you know, if they win, obviously I'm with you guys. I mean, I don't see it happening, but if they do, they would be, even on points with Watford with a worse goal differential on 17th. Let's move to the other side of North London, Tottenham against Crystal Palace. The Conte-ism of Tottenham is looking nice these days, Heath Pierce. What do you think about Tottenham these days?
I mean, what do I personally think about Tottenham?
Maybe
setting up.
All I do is answer the questions as specifically as you ask them. You know,
Heath, so, give it to me. Give it to me. Personal and neutral. Yeah.
No, I mean, look, I think Spurs are revitalized in a good way. I think North London is having a moment and it's feeling itself, and I really like that, because it's never a good thing when you see both the teams struggling in the way that they have and sort of being the laughing stock of London teams. For this one, with the full squad finally coming back, I think that'll be a nice return for Spurs, and they could go back to a back three or not a Christmas tree formation and get in 3-4-3 again, which could be, you know, pretty good. I expect Son to come back into the lineup again after being rotated. They had quite a few rotations in the midweek, and so he could be back in, obviously leading that team. I wonder what the job of Harry Kane is with this one, continuing to play, but likely not score goals. But I look at this Palace side, and Spurs have won 5 at home versus Palace, and 4 of those were clean sheets. And so that's the thing that I'm kind of most sticking to in terms of the form that Spurs have. Obviously, I think statistics mean very, very little as you connect them all together. But there is something to being at home and keeping clean sheets. So I think Spurs run away with this one. Not run away with this one, but I think Spurs are plenty capable having their full squad back to health, at least for the most part, and getting result here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sort of sound like the Arsenal fan talking down Tottenham's chances, but
here I go as the Arsenal fan talking down Tottenham's chances.
But there's a couple of things. One, you know, a motivating factor for Spurs as well will also be that, you know, the last time they played Palace, it was a real nadir moment for them, for Nuno Espirito Santo, that 3-0 loss. But equally, let's not forget, you know, there was a reason that Palace team won 3-0, and there's a reason they've been doing so well this season and, you know, confounding a lot of expectations. Conor Gallagher is really excellent as that midfielder out of possession and the striker in it. I love what they do and what Patrick Vieira's got them doing. I think they're going to be a really tough team throughout this season. And look, you know, talking about Patrick Vieira, I believe this is a guy that has not lost a league game to Tottenham this millennium. And, you know, having met Patrick Vieira once before, I know for a fact he's going to be particularly keen to not lose to Tottenham.
Yeah.
You've still got to kind of come down on the side of Spurs. I think the thing that's really exciting me, or would be exciting me as a Spurs fan from their perspective, is you're seeing a bit of depth around Son and Kane as well. Lucas was good last night. Steven Bergwijn, his best performance in a Spurs shirt for a long time. So there are a fair few things to like for Spurs fans, and they look pretty solid, and Conte's making his mark.
What I'll say, what I found interesting in their Carabao Cup game, their 2-1 win over West Ham, was the fact that they gave up a ton of chances. I thought Lloris had to make a lot of world-class saves and had to be alert for a good portion of the game. West Ham had close to 60% possession. So Antonio Conte, as much as I'm seeing maybe Spurs attack in a way that feels a little bit more vibrant than it has in the past, and I thought they had a really spirited performance against Liverpool as well, there's still something missing. There's still that thing. And when I look at what Crystal Palace can bring to the table with Ayew, Edouard, Zaha, Benteke, whoever it is coming, I just think they're going to get their chances. And if Crystal Palace can take the chances that they're giving, then I think that, given, then I feel like they have the possibility of getting a result.
And to your point, West Ham didn't have Mikel Antonio. No, that's the only thing I wanted to add.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Yeah.
No, but Crystal Palace have only won 1 out of their last 6. They've only won once away from home in the league this season, albeit that was against Manchester City. So take that with a grain of salt. They can be opportunists when they get those half chances. And if Zaha's feeling it, we know that he can win a game by himself. I don't know. But when I look at what's happening here, I thought Dele Alli, despite his lacking his finishing touch against Liverpool, was pretty vibrant and bright in that game and alive in a way that we haven't seen him before, even though he looks like Captain Jack Sparrow from Pirates of the Caribbean. But you know, Lucas has been really sharp. Bergwijn, as you know, him coming off the bench could be really sharp, and Heung-Min Son and Harry Kane. I don't know. This is a tough one for me. I like Spurs for all the reasons you guys mentioned, but I wouldn't discount Crystal Palace. I don't think anybody has, but they do have some players that I think could punish Spurs, and Spurs like to give up opportunities. So we'll see.
Yeah, our producer Des Norris does say Vieira also has the best Boxing Day record of any player in the history of the Premier League. 8 wins from 8. Take that with what you will. I do take a little bit of the blueprint of their game against Liverpool as opposed to the League Cup game and it could suit Tottenham, you know, this Vieira obsession-friendly kind of game, and Conte is so good at holding, and then, you know, kind of like attacking you when you least expect it. Having said all that, Crystal Palace is looking for a continuation of a reaction, and obviously regarding of Vieira's record in the Boxing Day matches, like James Bain said, he does not want to lose.
Can I just point out, by the way, 8 wins from 8, all I hear is that he's had 8 Christmases where he's had to go to sleep early and not have any fun.
I mean, that's any Premier League player.
But that sounds suspiciously like not enough games. And I'm putting him in the...
Yeah, that's not a lot, actually. That's true, yeah.
I'm putting him firmly under notice as well. And my suspicion is Jack Grealish and Phil Foden are the same.
Yeah, the fifth yellow card on the week before Christmas. Yeah.
Jack Grealish is just getting Matty Cash as his doppelganger. And he'll be like, oh, yeah, he'll just come in. But all right, let's do quick predictions on this one. Jimmy, I like your parlay saying. So let's go there. So what? Let's go from the very top just to remember everybody. So what did you have?
I took Man City. Man City's heavy favorites, -540 to beat Leicester. No big surprise there.
Okay, Man City win. Villa Chelsea.
I said Villa Chelsea. I have the draw +270, but I just switched it to Chelsea winning because I think there's going to be a draw. There's always some crazy ass draw in your that ruins your parlay. So
I'm
trying to decide if it's going to be Spurs Palace or if it's going to be Aston Villa Chelsea. So I'll say draw. I'll just stay there. So let me go back to the draw there. And then I have Tottenham beating Crystal Palace, and I have Arsenal beating Norwich. And that's a four-legged parlay. That's 10-1 right now. So if
there
I
you go. All right, Heath, what's your parlay? Let's do Man City Leicester.
I'll do everybody's. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got Man City winning that one.
What about Villa Chelsea? Chelsea, right?
Villa Chelsea. I got Chelsea winning Chelsea way 1-0.
Norwich Arsenal.
Norwich Arsenal. I got Arsenal winning that one comfortably.
Tottenham Palace.
I'm going to go with, I'm so stuck on this one just because of the fact that I love Crystal Palace. I love the way that they play.
And you hate Tottenham.
At the same time, but Tottenham against Liverpool, I was really excited about the way that they were attacking. It was like a breath of fresh air, even though they didn't finish any of the chances.
Just give it to me, Heath.
I'm going with Spurs on that one. Spurs
for the win. All right. What's that?
That hurts. That's 4-1 +400.
No, that's not terrible. James Bench, here we go.
I'm a coward. If that's all I'm getting, I'm a coward.
You picked every favorite in that one.
All right, give me a Spurs draw then. What do I get from that?
Draw that goes easily. up to +934.
Oh, so yeah. I'm going with the draw. Here we go. Right. Let's go. Roll it. Let's go.
James Bench, Man City, Leicester.
Yeah, no, let's go Man City on that one. I think
Villa Chelsea.
Oh, Chelsea, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay. Arsenal against Norwich.
I never like betting for Arsenal.
Here we go.
Well, you gotta do it, James Bench.
No, I'm gonna bet Norwich. On a draw.
You bet a draw. Wow.
Oh my God.
This is him just trying to get, he'd rather lose his money and get the win.
He knows his own psychological thing here. Like, he knows. All right. Okay. Fine. So, Tottenham Palace?
Palace are going to win that one.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. So, what is that, Jimmy?
God. Yeah. That jumps like, you bet $100, you'll win $4,300 Norwich Arsenal and Palace beat Spurs. City I love win it. And Chelsea win. Wow.
Yeah, but there was a psychological.
Yeah,
there's always
like very, very much
he's,
like
you can't I'm bet willing, emotionally. He's betting emotionally.
I'm willing to spend $100 to be wrong so that I'm right when it's
he's,
all said.
He's
done.
Half glass eggnog empty. That's right. That's right. All right. Hey, Jimmy, one for me then. Man City win, Villa win, Arsenal win, Tottenham Palace draw.
Ooh, wow.
That's what that was the +910, right?
That is...
I gave a Villa win.
Oh, Villa winning, City winning, Arsenal winning, and Tottenham Palace draw, correct?
Yeah.
31-45. So you bet $100, you win $3,000.
Let's go. Take it to the bank, baby. All right. All right. Des Norris wants to ask, what's the over-under for number of games that will be postponed this weekend? What do you think, Jimmy?
I'm going to defer to Bench here, who's our resident expert on COVID.
Six games played.
Six.
So four postponed. I mean, I think there's always a wild card, and I have a feeling this Everton one may end up getting worse if they get a couple more COVID cases. Mm.
Four seems like a good number. All right, well, let's move on here. Let's wrap things up here. Jimmy Conrad, Newcastle, Manchester United. Talk to me about this.
I don't know what is there to talk. I really don't. I don't know. This is so bad. We're bad. We got 10 points. We're thankfully in 19th spot and not 20th. Manchester United under Ralph Rangnick, who has been well documented as a mastermind of the intimate details of how to have success at all levels of an organization, I think is going to be a little bit more prepared than this Newcastle team. That I just think it's going to take 5, 6, 7 years to really get it right. I mean, they really have to change everything. They have to get the youth academy going. They got to get the scouts going. They got to get the front office going. Then they got to hire the right. It's just a lot, and it takes a lot. And I just think it's going to take some time.
They couldn't even get a Boxing Day fixture. You know what I mean?
Which hurts.
They can't even get a. Everyone gets a Boxing Day fixture.
At least you cleaned up your stadium, right? St. James's Park looks a little less advertisement free these days.
Yeah, well, that's a start, right? So these all these little things that we're building brick by brick. Newcastle have conceded 11 goals in their last three. Of course, they were against Leicester, Liverpool, and City. But I just feel like Eddie Howe has got his work cut out for him. And as much as I appreciate some of the attacking prowess or players that have some sauce, I'm looking at Saint-Maximin and Almiron and Callum Wilson, a very, very good Premier League player. That back line is just atrocious. It's just so bad when I watch them play. And I just feel like Rangnick under it with all the players that have something to prove. I think Man United's going to steamroll Newcastle here. And I remember the game there at St. James's Park last year where Bruno Fernandes, I think, had a really good brace. And they were just in complete control. And I just think they're going to be ready to go. So, yes, this is a tough stretch of games for Newcastle. This isn't going to be the reason we stay up. It's not to be against the teams that are in the top five or six. It's going to be against the teams that we're competing against at the bottom and mid-table. We got to get points there and just hope for the best in these other games.
I mean, let's be honest, Jimmy. There's like no reasons why you're going to stay up, are there?
Ben just said that the teams you're competing with down at the bottom are going to get a draw this weekend against Arsenal. So I hope that Newcastle are good.
Yeah.
I suppose the one thing, this goes back to what Heath was saying earlier, is it has been, I believe, 4,000 years since Manchester United have played a football match.
Seriously, yeah.
I don't remember any of the players anymore. I know that obviously Ralph Rangnick will be like, great time on the training ground. And I believe he's got a new coach as well. Ewan, I don't know his first name. I believe he's worked in the MLS as well. He's coming in as a coach. So there's going to be plenty of people helping out on the training ground to make up for the absence of Kieran McKenna and Michael Carrick. But I mean, that maybe does kind of give you hope that, you know, Rangnick will want a lot of time to drill them on shape, to drill them on pressing triggers and pressing patterns. But actually, he'll really want them to be able to apply this in game. And, you know, I know that there are other teams in the league that have had a long break, but not many, I think, as long as Man United, who weren't great against Norwich, who weren't great against Young Boys. Mm-hmm. Like, the hope, I guess, if you're a Newcastle fan, is that you can hit them early on. You know, someone like Saint-Maximin could get a Wan-Bissaka or a Dalot, and then maybe you just kind of hold on from there. I still would predict a Man United win, but I think Newcastle could give this a good go. I think
Ewan is his first name, by the way. Ewan Sharp is who you're thinking about. Yeah.
Ewan Sharp.
Yeah, they might be good for 20 minutes, Bench, but that, you know, we had a good 15 against Tottenham, and it was amazing. I was like, I'm all in on these guys, and they blew it from there.
That's my worry for Man United anyway, is that, okay, more training ground time, but like after 20 plus positive cases across the club, it's some of that time needs to be made up in just getting fitness back, depending on how long these players out. Obviously, we're talking about the fact that if all of these players are Omicron positive cases and some of the injuries that they have, that they're getting time on the pitch and it's not having some sort of long-term effect on them, or they're not out for very long. But who knows what a fitness is like of every single player, right? You've seen it before where two players have the same exact cold. One takes a lot longer to recover from, takes them a while to get back going again and get that fitness back. So there could be some fitness concerns as well, especially when you're not playing matches, because that's really the only way to simulate that sort of fitness needed to keep going. So I think that's where I see a few vulnerabilities. But in the attacking front, even if they do have a number of players out still, Manchester United are still too strong for this Newcastle side. I just see them winning.
All right, so all wins here for Man United. Is it even worth adding to the parlay, Jimmy Conrad?
Yeah, of course. You get more juice on there.
Let's do yours, since you're our resident betting expert.
Okay, hold on. I gotta get rid of Villa winning, because that's not gonna happen.
Thanks, Jimmy.
No problem. Let me go back to the draw. I think I have the draw there, dude. I have the draw.
Okay.
So Arsenal winning, Tottenham winning, City winning, draw Aston Villa Chelsea. And Man United winning is plus 1531. So 15-1. You bet 100 to win 1500 or 10 to win 150. Why not?
I like it. It's not bad. All right. Desnars, let's add the rest of those fixtures on the screen. By the way, we have West Ham against Southampton, Burnley against Everton, but with an asterisk, as James Main said, that game might not even happen. Brighton against Brentford. Any thoughts on those games, Heath Pierce?
Oh, man, not really. to be honest with you. I mean, I love Boxing Day for various reasons, but that's because I get the pick of the litter in terms of the good games to be able to watch. But there's nothing really that stands out to me other than the fact that with West Ham, our guy Mikel Antonio, who we big up for so long, has scored one goal in his last 10 games, and that's a bit indicative of the current form of West Ham and the results that they're getting, and the fact that, you know, we put him at the top of the list of the best player in CONCACAF, but for what? You know, for what, guys? For what?
For what?
I'm with Heath here. I don't really want to talk about any of those games. What I do want to talk about, because I worked long and hard on this before they postponed the game, is Wolves, who will be playing Arsenal on the 28th, and we've talked about that a lot. But they have got incredibly boring, and it has been incredibly effective. I'm going to read you out these, my favourite XG stats. So from Wolves' first five Premier League games, they put up 9.19 XG. Mm. In the 13 since, they put up 9.63. Now, those first five games, where they were fantastic, Adama Traore was, you know, this marvel, huge XG numbers, looking really dangerous, playing through the middle. They got 3 points from those first five games. The 13 since, they've got 22, which is the fifth best record in the Premier League in that time. They have become sort of, they've gone straight back to archetypal Nuno Espirito Santo sufferball. I know this has absolutely no relevance for the games coming up, but really, I just wanted to talk about it because it would be such a shame if I'd wasted all that time anyway. But
no,
look, Pete, I know you don't want to watch any of these games, but just be grateful you didn't have to watch Wolves against Watford, because it would have been diabolical.
So put some respect on Bruno Lage's name, the manager for Wolves. He's figured out who he has, and they want to play not very aesthetically pleasing football. What are you going to do about that? My final thought about these matchups was West Ham. I know they've only won one out of their last seven. Every team goes through these spells, and I'm curious to see how they fight their way out of it. I actually thought they created more than enough chances against Spurs in the Carabao Cup.
Yeah,
where that's where I think your big concern is. If you're a fan of any team, if your team is struggling to create chances, that's when it's time to panic. But if they're still creating chances and just not finishing those off, or if they're giving up a lot on the other side, where I think that's where Chelsea people were having those big mood swings because they're just giving up so many goals, which is very unlike them. That's where you start to, okay, these are red flags. But I think West Ham's still in a good spot. They just have to make sure they keep believing. And hopefully Mikel Antonio will find his scoring boots once again, just not against the U.S.
Let's remember, West Ham are still fifth, okay? And, you know, they're still in a good, you know, situation as we reach or almost reach the halfway point of the season. But that's it. That's our Premier League Boxing Day weekend preview, our penultimate weekend preview. See what I did there? That's Norris. I didn't forget. Our penultimate weekend preview. We've got plenty more action to discuss in the following days before we wrap up 2021. But final thoughts from these lovely gentlemen. Heath Beers, I'll go with you.
Oh man, it's an exciting weekend. Hopefully we'll get as many games as possible. It would be a real shame. It's a weekend that the whole world looks forward to, especially for the Premier League to be able to zero in on and own the focus and intrigue of the world. So hopefully there's enough games to keep that that magical run of I don't know, whatever going.
All I know is that I'm going to be in my pajamas and I want to see some goddamn games. Okay. So if everybody can put their health at risk so I can make that happen, so we can keep traditions going, that's what I'm here for. Let's go.
Yeah. Just echoing that plea from Jimmy, please. I do not want to spend any more time with my family than I have to. Let's get through this.
You just got to, what are you talking about? Jack Grealish just dropped off a cake at your grandma's house. Dude. You got plenty of treats now to sit through a Boxing Day match.
I love it. I love it. No more family time. More beautiful game. James Bench, thank you so much, brother.
Thank you.
Jimmy Conrad, always a pleasure.
Oh, pleasure.
Heath Pierce, stay safe, my man.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everybody. Thank you for being part of our family, Que Golazo Pod on Twitter. Make sure that you follow us as well on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can rate us now. Give us that 5-star rating. And, of course, CBS Sports and your CBS Sports app. Have a wonderful Christmas, a holiday time. Be safe, please. Be kind, and we'll see you next time. So long.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me, and also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Fiori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Fiori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.